Okay, now you can hear me, right?
Yes.
Jeez, that was... It was on my end, apparently. Sorry for accusing you. But
what an accusatory tone this text message has.
I said, think the problem... This problem is on your end, I think. I said, I think.
Well, I take everything the wrong way.
Yeah, I don't know why FaceTime just decides to change settings on me. I also don't know why the microphone settings are under the video menu and not under preferences.
Why, God? If there even is a God, am I right?
Why? God of Mac OS X, why you do this to us?
Why you do this?
People love when you podcast about how difficult your podcast setup is. It's so interesting. Oh, it's so interesting.
Andy, what's more interesting is this is a Saturday night episode.
I know. This is Linda and Andy unplugged this is when we should be out like having fun. You were out having fun though.
I was. But people can hear us really letting loose. I have had one margarita.
Oh. So... I had one glass of some cooking wine. Not actually cooking wine, because cooking wine has like salt in it. But I had a glass of a very cheap wine intended only to be cooked with, and I was like, well, I gotta taste it. It tasted like grape juice, not wine.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
So you had a whole glass of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot for you. I'm also currently looking for pants to put on.
You're currently looking for pants.
Yes, I am pantsless.
Pantsless in Seattle?
I found some pants, but they're not like the pants I want to wear, So just to
Are you going back out tonight? It's 7:20 on a Saturday night. I would be in for the night if I were you. I can't believe you're putting pants on, personally.
No, I'm looking for the right cozy pants, Andy. Because it's laundry day. Oh. So my favorite lounge around sweatpants are in the wash right now.
Rough. Yeah, I guess it's probably kind of cold in your apartment, which is why you're choosing to wear pants even though you don't have to.
Yeah, I want to set the scene here. It's like just cold enough that it's going to snow a little bit in the next hour or so. Mm-hmm. And I was out all day, walking around a bunch, getting a little chilly, and now it's time to snuggle up inside for the rest of the night.
Respect.
Gonna pour a glass of wine.
That's a pretty good night you got going on there, Linda.
Yeah. I'm living my best.
Great. Are we, and I'll cut this out if you don't want, or if you want me to, are we allowed to talk about the text message you sent me earlier today?
Yeah, I think
at least vaguely. At least vaguely. I don't want to talk about it in detail, obviously.
We won't give details.
Well, I mean, you basically texted me and said, hey, we were supposed to record earlier, and you were like, instead, I'm going to go to a museum with a girl I have a crush on. Yeah. And we've been friends for quite some time. It's been many years at this point, 3-4 years. We've had some very serious conversations. And I have to confess, I do not know from that text message if you mean a crush as in an actual romantic crush or as in just, this is a person I like and I'm just using the word crush because it's funny.
Yeah, and I think I realized that in an episode that we had a few eps ago where you were like, you're like, we are both straight or something like that. And I was like, oh, we haven't.
Did I say that?
Or it was something like that.
God,
you're like,
I'm so normative. What an asshole.
Well, no, but then I realized, I've never talked to you about this. So I'm like, why would he assume?
Well, I shouldn't assume either way. Let's be clear. I shouldn't assume you're straight. but no, we haven't talked about it, which I feel like I'm a little bit proud of. Because, why does it matter? It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Not a thing. So I'm glad that, I don't know, I think it's a sign of a good friendship that it's never been like, all right, now give me the exact details of who you will and will not fuck. But
right.
I don't know. It was a text message. I was like, oh, interesting. I wonder if this is a crush or just a friend crush.
Well, a little bit of both. And yeah, I kind of wanted to feel it out. Feel like it's a friend, but yeah, to start was like, I don't know. Could like this person either way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Andy, and I guess the rest of the world. This will be like the coming out episode.
No, this episode is clearly called Pantsless at Home. There's no way around pantsless. That.
Pantsless. Coming out and pantsless.
We have learned that titles that will grab people's attention are good for download numbers. So Pantsless at Home is going to be a new number one app.
totally. But I mean, I think that, whatever, we'll talk about the title later. But yes, I identify as queer. I think that, like, bisexual is somewhat loaded of a term, or it feels, like, very, like, formal to say, like, I am a bisexual woman. But
it also,
no, I've dated women in the past, but I don't meet women as easily or as frequently as I meet men. I think because I was raised with such a, like, in such a hetero world, you know, like, in the church and everything. Yeah. So, like, I have, like, all the tools that I need to, like, flirt with dudes, but but when I'm, like, trying to meet a woman that I really like, I'm just an idiot.
You have all the tools you need.
Yeah, like,
what
choking.
A way to put it, Linda. Way to brag.
Well, no, it's just, you know, like, culture raises you to know how to pick up on cues and to send signals and all that stuff.
It's true, it does. The I can't keep up with all the terminology, frankly. The term bisexual to me seems a little strange because it implies there's only like
two
options. And you're like, right. I do both. And it's like, well, but there's not just two. That's not how this works.
Right.
So I think a different terminology is better.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you had a nice museum time.
It was a super nice museum time. I went to PS1, and that is like a very... Oh,
is that that one's an extension of the MoMA or the Whitney?
It's an extension of the MoMA. So I feel like they show a lot of this like really cool old MoMA stuff. And I'm going to butcher his name. What's his name? Like Marty Neumeier, the guy who does a lot of stuff. Or Bruce Newman, sorry. Marty Neumeier's an author. Bruce Newman, Nauman.
The Canadian designer guy?
I think so. No.
Or am I thinking of a different Bruce?
Thinking of a different Bruce, I think. So this person, he does like performative art and sculpture and neon and just like everything. It was a really, really awesome exhibit. And I really like the PS1 because it's super chill and it's like only like $10 to get in. But if you're a New Yorker, it's free. So it's just
How can they tell? You just...
They give you like I'm walking
you. They give you like a pizza test.
Yeah.
They give you a bagel, yeah. And if you can identify the bagels from Jersey, then
you're like, oh, that's Joe's on Bleecker. Or yeah. Like, yeah.
Just address on your ID, I guess.
No, just yeah, ID.
That's not a fun joke. That's not a bit.
Cool joke, Andy. There. Sorry, you've been playing board games all day. I'm sure you're like exhausted.
Oh, no, I get all jazzed up. That's actually one of the problems.
I can tell.
When I spend all day playing games, I can't go to bed at my normal time because I get
really?
All...
Really?
Well, so oftentimes I'll play until, like, you know, at my normal bedtime, as we've discussed in the show, I try to be in bed at 9 and, like, lights off 9:30, 9:45. So on game nights, I'll usually play until 9 and then I'll bike home and I'll be in bed at, like, 9:15 and there's no way I'm going to fall asleep by 9:45 after I've been playing games until 9 o'clock because I'm all hopped up on strategy.
That's so funny. You're such a dork.
Yeah. But I actually wanted to share with you, and this is something I've never told anybody, not because it's a secret or anything, just because it's never come up. But I was thinking about your text message, and I was planning on asking you what I asked you. And I identify as heterosexual, as we've established, because apparently I just brought it up and said we're both heteros on a previous episode, like an asshole. But... there is exactly one male-identifying person for whom I have had, like, kind of romantic feelings, I guess?
Really?
Yeah, I met one guy once. So I went to this conference. I guess it's not really a conference. A person that I know through the online, through Twitter and such, in, like, the design world, used to organize this event every once in a while that was... not a conference, but it was an excuse for him to bring a bunch of designers and design-minded people that he knew and liked together into the same city to, like, do stuff. And it was more like summer camp. You know, like, we would do, like, fun activities and, like, go and see the city. It was no TED Talks or whatever. But I did this once in Seattle. So it was a group of, like 15 to 20 of us. I can't remember the exact number. It was a small group of people, and we did a bunch of stuff for, like, a long weekend together. And there was this one guy that I just, like, met this guy, and I mean, I can't say that, like, it was fully romantic feelings. I wasn't like, I want to hug and kiss this man, but
right.
It was definitely something different. Just like this whole vibe, I was like, I have strange feelings about you.
Oh, wow.
I still remember it to this day. It's been like, I don't know, 7 years or something, but still, I'm like, that was a different kind of feeling. And I have no idea how that guy identifies. So,
yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like some people would probably consider me queer or somewhere on the spectrum just because of that. It's like, you know, as soon as you break the heterosexual code, you're not allowed to identify as heterosexual anymore. But that's how I do identify.
That is the way that, like, our world, I think, created sexuality for us. It's like, yeah, once you've broken the seal.
Exactly. It's like you're tainted
now. Officially in that camp. But yeah. If you're a woman, you get, like, a lot of leeway. And you get, like, well, it's just hot. And there's, like, a lot of douchey dude stuff about female
sexuality. If it's
sexuality.
Hot enough, it's not gay. That's the rule.
Oh, God.
This man was just very beautiful and very kind and, like, warm.
Where is he now? Are you two still friends?
I follow him on Twitter, I think, still, but he's not actually a big social media person. Like, he posts almost never.
Okay.
I don't know what he's up to now. I have not seen him again.
And but, I thank you so much for sharing that and for letting me know that you have also experienced feelings for someone of the same gender. Very, like, I feel closer to you now.
Thank you, Linda. And the other thing about me is, like, I've also always been, like, I think, like, androgynous aesthetic is very appealing. Like, I'm attracted to, like, women that look more androgynous than women that are especially femme, on average, I would say.
Right.
So that's another data point.
Yep. Mm-hmm. This tracks. Well, because I remember, like, you talk a lot about Hillary and the way that she dresses and acts and stuff.
Wait,
and,
I do?
Well, you've mentioned that she, like, doesn't wear makeup. She doesn't get her nails done.
She's actually started wearing more makeup lately in the past. Like, since we got married,
how do you feel
about
it? Do you hate it? Are you like, can you grow a mustache?
that's what I'm like, yeah. It'd be so hard to get a mustache, babe. No, I don't hate it. It's a change. It was a little bit jarring when she started doing something that she hadn't done before. But no, I don't dislike it at all.
And then you get used to it. Yeah.
She's actually probably, of all the women I've dated, more on, like, the femme side of things, generally speaking. At least now. When we first started dating, she had long hair. I mean, she cut it real short, and I liked that a lot because I love short hair for reasons aforementioned. But I would think in the grand scheme of things, as far as women I've dated, she's, like, you know, more on the femme side. We shouldn't talk
Got
about
it.
Hillary, though. This feels
invasive
to her. She did not consent to this.
That.
But I do have one. This is a funny story. One of my ex-girlfriends from college, a picture of her ended up on a Tumblr site that I'm sure is long gone, that was titled Lesbians That Look Like Justin Bieber. And she was neither a lesbian nor Justin Bieber, but a picture of her ended up on that site. So that tells you a little more about my aesthetic.
That's interesting. I did not know this about you.
That I'm really into Justin Bieber.
That you're into, like, Bieber-esque ladies. But hey, to each his or her own, you know?
Yeah.
Go for it. I was talking to our head of people ops, or HR person, for lack of a better term.
You call it people ops?
People operations, yes.
Interesting.
And
can't decide if that's more or less, because human resources always felt like the most demeaning name for, like,
it really
you
is.
Are a resource and I manage you the same way that I manage the amount of paper in the printer.
But people ops is nice because it kind of abbreviates down to pops. So we have, like, your
that's cute
pals and your stuff like that. It's very cute. But anyways, this person, they have a, I think he's 5 or 6 year old son, and they are just super open about sexuality. And I feel like I've never met a person in my life who is, like, to me, just a better example of, like, how you should raise a child in the modern age. Like, she's just got it all figured out, how to talk to him about sexuality and about his body and his feelings. And when you were talking about your crush on your friend, it reminded me that just this weekend she told me about how they have this like language around the people that her son likes at school. So there's like a boy that her son likes in a Mary crush way. So it's like Mary love crush is like, oh yeah, like I have like romantic feelings about that person. Mm-hmm. But then there's like in the hug and kiss crush way where it's like, I don't know why, but I like being around that person. And then there was like a person in this kid's relationship who was like maybe somewhat toxic, and they kind of drive each other crazy, and that's why they like each other so much. But it's just like totally interesting to hear how kids are being raised now in this sort of like non-binary world, and it just feels like very refreshing.
This child already has a greater fidelity of understanding of their emotional relationships to people they're interested in than I did until I was like 28. So good
totally,
for them.
Because imagine if there was like a language around it for us as
having
we were
a language
up,
around
like,
it is so important.
Yeah, or like people in your life who are supportive of men or women, or just like never treating it as though it's different and just being like, oh, what kind of feelings do you have? Cool, let's talk about those.
Just the idea, you just like, you know, pointed out this kid distinguishes between like romantic feelings and like hug and kiss feelings. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, that is different. But I truly like that. One of my big flaws as a college student was not really having a sense of a difference there that I could at least put a name to or describe to anybody.
Yeah. It's just like guilt. You're just like, I don't know, I feel guilty around this person because they make my loins tingle.
No, I wasn't raised Catholic, so I never had any guilt. Anyway, good for that kid. Good for those parents.
Yeah. Super good parenting.
Very encouraging. Because it's the kind of thing where it's like, I'm such a huge believer in linguistic... Blah, 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 blah. I'm a huge believer in linguistic relativity, which is the idea that giving something a name such that you can talk about it is one of the only ways that we can actually come to understand something. If you can't understand it enough to name it, then it's hard to have any kind of discourse about it or have a discourse with yourself inside your own head about something.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there have been a lot of studies that basically show that, like, your brain works in language. Mm-hmm. At least that's my understanding of it. Like, the reason that little kids, like infants and stuff, can't understand things is not because their brain is bad at understanding things. It's because they don't have language for it yet. And so not until they get language for, like, ideas can they start to understand that, like, you know, spatial relationships and all other kinds of parts of the real world and, like, grappling with it. That's how I understand it, at least, but I'm not a doctor.
No, that is really interesting. I think that there were a lot of things that were given names when I was young, but we just called those things Satan.
Yeah, that's rough.
Case closed.
Did you have a lot of guilt around your feelings in this department growing up?
I don't think so, because I got to lean heavily on the fact that I was also boy crazy. So I think that like my feelings for other women or girls didn't develop until I was like in middle school, high school, like around the time that I was going through puberty. Like I remember having strong feelings for my best friend in the fifth grade. But it's weird because like since there was literally no language for that in my life, like I didn't even know what gay was, I think, until I was like around that age. And it was only explained to me in my super crazy conservative Christian upbringing as this like sinful, horrible thing. So I just didn't even think of that as an option for me, because it also wasn't taught that homosexuality was like a thing that people were born with. It was taught to me as like a thing that people choose to be. So
because Satan told you.
Because Satan. And so, yeah, I just didn't have any way to think about those feelings other than like I liked it when I was like around that friend. And so I tried to be around them all the time.
Right.
But yeah, I never would have thought to like explore those feelings or be like, oh, she's my girlfriend or anything like that. So yeah, but I was also really boy crazy all the time. So I think I just,
what do you mean by that?
I like was literally the girl who would like chase boys on the playground. And I was always trying to kiss boys and, yeah, I was just like really, really, really into boys when I was growing up. I remember tricking this boy in like kindergarten to playing Little Mermaid with me, because in Little Mermaid there's a scene where the prince has to like wake her up by kissing her. So he has to like lay over her and like put his mouth on hers and give
Yeah,
her
that
like
is how a kiss
CPR
works. Thank
basically.
you for describing
But
kisses.
it was but it was like CPR. And so I was like, okay, now you have to do the CPR thing. And basically just like convincing the boys that I liked to kiss me by playing Little Mermaid. So I was like that kind of boy crazy. I just couldn't get enough. I always had a crush. I mean, from age like kindergarten or pre-K, I can remember having crushes on boys and being like very talkative about them. So
Yeah.
yeah, probably just didn't even dawn on me, dawn on my parents that there could have been a possibility that I was
Because of all the kiss coercion
a
happening.
little
Because of
gay.
all the notes you got sent home with that said,
Yeah.
Linda tricked another boy into giving her CPR today.
Yeah, so my parents were probably like, "Oh my God, she's not gay."
I'm definitely I was not that kind of I'm reticent to say crazy. I was not that kind of fixated on girls I was growing up with. But I definitely was prone to a crush and prone to like just it being all consuming inside, and it would never manifest itself outside anyway, except for me being like, "Oh, hi," in some awkward way. I never had the courage to chase somebody down and play Little Mermaid with them or whatever. Yeah, and like it's hard for me. You know how you have those times in your life where you're like, I know that I felt this way because I have such and such evidence to point to the fact that I felt this way, but
Yes.
I cannot actually remember that feeling. Like it, my junior and senior year of high school, when I finally started like quote unquote dating, kind of, I like had a lot of like classic high school like emotional drama. I did paintings of my feelings with regards
Oh,
to,
Andy.
with regards to girls that I was dating and my heart that was broken and all the feelings I couldn't bear to hold in any longer. And these like, I probably still have pictures of these somewhere buried on my hard drive because it was like the portfolio I applied to art school with. But yeah, I
That's
can't remember
amazing.
feeling those feelings, but looking at those paintings, it's like, yeah, okay, you clearly had some things you were focused on.
You felt a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and it took me well into, I would say, my young adulthood to like accept the fact and understand and have the language to like describe that I'm a fairly sensitive person. And because I was, when I was growing up, we've talked about this kind of abstractly, but like being a loud person that's like charismatic and I'm my family is a big like playful joking family, right? Like they'll, playfully make fun of each other and like, rib each other. And so I grew up in that culture and like I can do that until the cows come home. I don't get my like feelings hurt easily. And for all those reasons, like I was always kind of told either explicitly or implicitly, like, oh, you're not sensitive. Like there's sensitive people, but that's not you. And I've had took me a long, long time to realize like, no, actually I'm like quite sensitive. Like most movies with any kind of like emotional content like profoundly upset me and like kind of fucked me up for like 3 days. Like I'm definitely pretty sensitive in the grand scheme of things. And it was very freeing when I finally kind of came to realize that because it was like, oh, okay, that explains a lot. And no longer is it just like I'm broken in this way. It's just that's how I am and it's fine.
So that's why it was freeing, was it because you felt like you were broken in your emotional?
I felt like I was having responses that I wasn't supposed to have because I
Okay.
wasn't a sensitive person. Like that would be
Those
a
are girl feelings.
I mean, yeah,
Is that?
probably. That was probably part of it. Girl feelings or, sensitive namby-pamby boy feelings.
Right.
But either way, it was not what I was expected to do growing up.
Gotcha.
So yeah. Finally realizing like that was fine. That was a normal thing and that's just how I am. Is was good for me.
Yeah. You just feel ways about stuff.
Feel ways about stuff. These paintings were bad. I have one specific memory of oh man, there's this one girl in high school, like my junior year, that I was just completely obsessed with. And we were friends, and she was like pretty clearly not interested in me romantically. But I would just like
Devastating.
constantly keep trying all the time because I was a misguided high school boy.
Well, because that's what all the movies taught you to do is like, if
That's
she
probably
doesn't like
part of it
you,
too.
just keep pushing.
And I definitely did a bunch of like over the top romantic gestures,
Oh, God.
like you know, the one thing I would tell people is like, when I was in high school, I never cried except when it came to women. And then like the only times I can remember crying ever in high school were because of like heartbreak. I went on a trip my sophomore or junior year of high school. This is my first international trip. My aunt and uncle took me and my cousin, who's roughly my age. We went to like Rome and Vienna and Venice and had like a little trip around Europe. And because I was currently in a like deep emotional relationship with this woman, girl, who was not interested in me romantically, but was definitely liked me as a friend, like wanted me around, and I was like mm-hmm. fawning over. We were like, oh, we're going to be away from each other for 10 days. Like, how are we going to handle it? And so she gave me this little tiny, like, it was like a keychain, like a little keychain of like an alligator, like something completely, totally meaningless. I'm sure she just like picked it up off like the counter in her kitchen and was like, here, take this, I guess. Like,
yeah,
like here, take this and think of me. And so like I made it my mission to take this little alligator around to all these different places and take pictures of the alligator so I could bring it back and show her all the travels the alligator had been on. And then one time I very nearly lost it. We were on like a funicular in Vienna, like going up some hill or something. And I had like left it on a rock somewhere where I'd taken a picture of it and the funicular was pulling away. And I was a high school, I was, you know, probably 15 or 16, like a fairly grown young man. And I like burst into tears because I couldn't let this alligator go. I ended up doing a lot of paintings about her.
That's amazing. Creepy, I bet.
But
I had a similar guy. I had a boyfriend in the fifth grade, and he moved to Germany because his dad was in the service. And I was like so devastated and so heartbroken. But he gave me two things when he left. He gave me this little alien doll from Toy Story. You know, like the little aliens that are
the one inside
the
claw machine.
Okay, yeah. So he gave me this doll that was like from the. It was the alien from Toy Story. Mm-hmm. And just like you said, it was probably just something that he found in his like,
right. He just had it.
That, whatever. And so he gave me that. And then he also gave me, for some reason, the Blur CD, the one that is self-titled and it has that song too on it. The woo-hoo,
right. The one everyone knows.
That song. Yeah. And so I listened to that CD like 9,000 times and I like memorized every word and I assumed that like every word on that CD was meant like specifically for me.
Is it a particularly romantic album?
No, it's not. It's like kind of morose. It's kind of sad. But I pined after it and I just like, I loved it so much and I felt like I loved him and I was 10.
Well, so, yeah. See, this is not fair because I gave a story about when I was like 16 and you were like, well, when I was half that age, I was almost as dumb. So,
well, I think that women tend to feel these things maybe a little bit earlier in life. I don't know.
That's the other thing I always remember. I always remember feeling like I was a couple years ahead of my peers in what I wanted out of my relationships with the opposite. Relationships of people I was interested in biologically.
Yeah.
I remember, like, specifically, you know, in, like, fifth grade or, like, sixth grade or whatever, most boys were like, yuck, girls, I want
right.
to play video games and, you know, sports. And I was kind of like, I don't know, girls seem pretty good. And, you know, and then there was, like, the age where everyone just wants to, like, hook up all the time. And I was like, I want a relationship. I just always felt like I was ahead of the curve in a way that did not help me in life.
Well, you probably were. I mean,
I was also just old for my grade. I kind of got not held back in preschool, but I went to preschool like when I was on the cusp. They were like, all right, this kid, he could come here, but he also could be a little young.
This is going to make or break it.
And apparently I just cried for 2 whole weeks and they were like, all right, well, go home. He's not ready yet. Send him back next year. So I was like the very high end of the age in my grade. Such that like there's some people that are a full year younger than me that are in the same, you know, part of their school life.
I was, I was born in April, so I was like kind of towards the end of the school year. But for me, I just matured really quickly. I was always like way taller than everybody. And then I got my period when I was like 9 and a half, 10 years old. And, that girl that I really liked, in fifth grade that I like kind of had my first girl crush on, like she was the only other girl in the school who also had her period. So we like bonded
That's
over that.
A good thing to bond over, yeah.
Yeah, like it was actually pretty cool. Like my
tell war
mom,
stories.
Yeah, like my mom and like the school nurse kind of like let us know that each other like had the same thing.
Ooh, there and... you go. You got like a secret language.
Yeah, and it felt like, oh, cool. So I think that, like, sometimes on days like that, like, you wouldn't even need it, but you would be like, hey, do you have a pad?
Exactly,
like, just
yeah.
Because it felt
because it was
cool
a thing you
be,
shared,
like, the
yeah.
One kid.
I totally get
yeah.
That.
Yeah, so I think that, like, I was a little bit cursed. It took me a long time to feel like the dudes my age kind of caught up with where I was. I mean, I think it's still happening.
I think men are still trying to catch up with you, Linda.
I think you're right. Like, I still meet guys my age, and I'm just like, what? But I'm a little bit of a weirdo.
I feel some kind of way about this, but, you know, we have a lot of friends in our friend group, and some of them are, like, single women, and without fail, every time they meet some dude and bring him around, they're like, oh, he's so great, and I'm like, this guy fucking sucks. Like... He really sucks. And a part of it is that, like, I know these people are my friends. I know them very well. And I know that they're, like, fabulous, great people and, like, deserve really great people
totally.
To be with. And it's like, well, this guy's, like, okay, so he's a DJ and he wears, like, muscle shirts with no sleeves all the time, constantly.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's
but
just
you
like,
want them to be happy, so you're just like, they're great.
Yeah, I try not to be judgmental, but, like, it's definitely a pattern where it's like if one of my guy friends meets a woman, chances are I'll be like, oh, she's very nice. What a nice person. This will be great. And if one of my female friends brings some dude around, I'm like, oh no, no.
And it's because that dude is so you think like immature or
it's a lot of things. It's like the immaturity or it can be anything. But yeah, it's always just like, man, this person does not feel like they have their shit together as much as I know my friend does.
Yeah, and it took me so long for the age to even out. So, you know, like, my ex-husband is 16 years older than me. And
whoa, I had no idea.
Really?
No,
yeah.
I had no clue.
Fun fact. Yeah, my ex-husband, when we got married, I was 21 and he was 37.
That is kind of wild, Linda.
Yeah.
I mean, age is just a number, but that's
a pretty big.
Those are some different numbers.
Yep. And so, like, but when we met, he was super mature. He had just gotten out of his
He better
first
be mature.
Marriage.
He's
yeah, but he was awesome, and he was like, "This is gonna like look really weird to your family and your friends." So, like, before we just start announcing that we're dating each other, he's like, "I think I should just like meet your parents first and like let them see who I am, basically." And so that way they're not.
He put
like,
on a backwards baseball cap and started chewing some gum and got a yo-yo.
And
he's like, "Hey."
Hey, you.
I'm totally 22.
But we met at my internship at Cartoon Network. So he was a designer and illustrator there. And I was like the intern and we just like kind of hit it off in this really magical way where it was like, well, this is weird. I'm not supposed to be into you because you're so old. And he was like, yeah, this is like creepy for me to be into you. But then like my friend.
I'm personally grossed out by me.
Yeah. But then, like, my friends and family members who met him just immediately got it. It was like, they're like, oh, this totally makes sense. And so, yeah, like, everyone was super on board, opposite of the way that you're talking about. But so after him, after we got divorced, I, like, was dating guys who were, like, 10 years older than me. And I felt, like, I feel like men in their mid to late 30s are pretty much where I've been for the last, like, 10 years of my life where I'm like, this feels like an equal pairing or like we have stuff to talk about and we're kind of in the same place in our lives. So now I'm like finally getting to that age myself and I'm still kind of in that age range, but I'm like, maybe like 41 is like the perfect age.
Are you excited to be like 60 and still dating 38-year-old dudes?
Yeah, so like one of my friends actually, she just said like Linda, like you're single at the perfect time right now, because everyone's about to be getting done with their first marriage, and you can just like start picking
and
them
once
off.
Once again, you were ahead of the
great.
Curve.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, I've been there, I've done that.
Been there, done that.
Old news.
Mm.
But yeah, fun fact about me, and I forgot you didn't know that. I guess I didn't realize you didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter, right? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
We never had the conversation, and then we just did.
So many first conversations today.
It's a good day.
I'm working on a lot of puzzle stuff right now. I'm putting a puzzle.
Puzzles right now.
This one is a bunch of little doggies, and they're all wearing sweaters.
I do love doggies and sweaters, so this one's kind of right up my alley. But puzzles are not for me.
Maybe you should get one.
I would rather do the dishes.
Well, should I let you go? Should I let you go play your games?
Oh, no, games are over.
Okay.
But we should go soon, just so the podcast isn't an hour long.
Okay. This has been a good one, though.
It has. It was funny that I thought of that story. That I truly have never told anybody. I've never even mentioned Hillary. I mean, why would it come up? One time I was attracted to a man. That's not a thing that comes up.
Yeah. But I bet you're still attracted to him. I want to, like, we can use our...
I'll tell you who he is. I'm not going to say his name on air, obviously, but I'll send you his, like, Twitter profile or whatever.
Yeah, send me his shit. I want to know. Be great. Oh, wait, who do we have to talk about today?
This is our very first episode that is officially brought to you by you, the listeners. So for those of you that aren't aware, it costs us $4 every week to bring this episode to you and to your ears. So if you want to help support the podcast, you can Venmo me $4. My Venmo handle is Andy Mangold. It's also my Square Cash handle if you prefer that. Also PayPal.
But Andy, I have a cool product coming out soon, and I'd like to sponsor a few episodes in exchange for you shouting out about my product. Then what?
Earth to Linda cannot be bought. You may not advertise on our show, but you may send me $4 and we will thank you personally. So this week's episode is brought to you specifically by Nathan Gathright. Nathan, thank you for being the first one. When we announced this program, Nathan immediately sent me $4. And so thank you, Nathan.
Amazing. Does Nathan Gathright have any what was his deal? What was he like? Was he like, hey, I like the show? Or was he like, this seems legit?
I think he just said, seems like a good deal. Send $4.
Nathan Gathright, that sounds all right.
Or out of the gate with amazing puns. Oh, man.
Out of the gate.
That is this is worth the money. I'm sure he's never heard that one before, Linda.
We didn't say they'd be good.
Anyway, thank you, Nathan.
Thank you, Nathan.
Other listeners, send me $4, and you too can be enshrined forever as a patron of the arts by supporting this podcast.
That was pretty good. That
All right, Linda. I will leave you. Did you find pants? I guess we have to answer the question.
Yeah, I am wearing pants. Finally, I'm doing my puzzle of puppies in sweaters with pants on.
All right. So should we call it Finding Pants? I'll think of a good title.
I think you should I was in the closet looking for pants, so that's kind of funny.
In the closet We're looking talking for about pants. There we go. Nailed it. That's the one. We did it. All right, Linda. Enjoy the rest of your evening. I hope you have a lovely, cozy night in.
Thanks. Bye.
Good night.